Before we begin with the reading of the word, there's something else I'm feeling prompt to do. This today is national, I think it's national, Casey, right? Prayer for the persecuted church. I don't know if any of you knew that. There's not much talking about that. We have a national day of prayer in our country, but today is the national day of prayer for persecuted church. We probably don't feel that as much as people in the world do. I've just heard some reports of different families that are no longer here on earth because they stood up in their country and said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. There are people, and some of you may have felt this, that have left maybe a particular religion that your family for years have been involved in, and you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've kind of been put on the outside. That's a persecution as well. But we need to pray for these people. And one of the reports I heard was one of the growing number of people that are becoming Christians today is a group of people that the world has learning and beginning to hate more and more. And that's the Muslims. And with all the terrorist attacks and the things that are involved, and not all of them are part of that, and some of them are, and all that stuff, they are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we may have some in our area. I know I've seen them out by the way they may dress and so forth. And maybe there may be some here today that are from the Muslim faith. I don't know. But I think it is so powerful, the love of Jesus Christ, that's changing people's lives all over the world. And these people are really being persecuted more than we can ever imagine, beyond what we can even think. So what I'd like to do, again, something a little different than we would normally do here, I want us to pray for the persecuted church today. And I'm going to stretch you, thanks, John, for the illustration this morning. I'm going to stretch you and challenge you to do something a little bit different than I've never heard it in this church before. Some of you may have come from churches that have done this, but I'm going to ask you not to pray in silence this morning. I'm going to ask you to pray out loud. Don't have to be yelling, but I'm going to ask you to pray out loud. Okay? And here's the reason why. You need to hear your own prayer, number one. Number two, when God's people come together in one accord and pray, and I'm going to tell you, when you start praying out loud, something different happens. And God is such a mighty God, He can hear each one of your prayers, even out loud. And it becomes beautiful music to His ears because His people are humbling themselves and praying. So I'm going to ask you to do that. I will lead. I want you to come along and start following along. If it takes two or three, but I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to knock the enemy back. It's going to put him back. We go to ball games, and what do? We yell for the team, don't we? We cheer them on. Well, I'm going to tell you, we're getting ready to cheer on the persecuted church through prayer. And I'm asking you to stretch yourself. Pray out loud with me this morning, okay? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we all gather together with you right now in one accord, in one name. Your word tells us, Lord, that where two or more are gathered in your name, Lord, that you are in the very midst of us. And Father, that if we touch these things that we're praying about, that you are going to not only hear our prayer, Father, but you're going to intervene in these situations. We pray, God, right now for the persecuted church all over the world, And God, we just pray for them that you will give them the strength that they need to stand up in those times that they come, that they have, that the enemy comes against them. Father, we pray for them right now that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that they can walk in your truth and that others will come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, there are many out there that right now they're facing death because they are claiming to your word. And they're claiming that you are their King and their Lord and their Savior. And Father, we ask a protection on these people. Those, God, that you are going to use to further your gospel right now. God, that you will use them right now. Give them the strength to stand up and to proclaim your truth in your name. There are pastors in other countries right now that are getting death threats every day because they are standing up, proclaiming the word of God in their countries. And I pray for them right now, God. There are children, Lord, that are losing their lives and losing their families and losing everything that they know because they love you and they're standing up and they're saying, I will not deny the name of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for them right now. Not only do you fill them with your Spirit, but God, you continue to bring them together in one accord and strengthen them. And Lord, those people that see, and even those that are doing the persecution, God, we pray for them. Just like when Stephen was stoned to death, it was Paul standing over to the side, known as Saul at the time, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he was martyred for you, and Paul saw it. He was the one that had it done, and look what you've done with him. You changed his life. We pray for them, Lord, that they see your Holy Spirit in their lives. They see and sense your love coming from them. And that this world will not be the same, but it will know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I pray for everyone here right now, God. They may be persecuted, not with death, but maybe on their job, maybe in their family. Lord, there's different kinds of persecution, and I pray over them right now that you give them the same Holy Spirit that you've given these others. Father, that you would fill them right now. And Lord, that you would give them your word and they will stand in faith in your word, that they can speak your word boldly and in love. Father, that this world, even around us, will not be the same, that it will know there is a body of believers, there is a people that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that will stand up and that will claim, Jesus, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are my God, and I will proclaim that to everyone I know. And we give you the praise, Lord, it's for your glory. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Thank you so much. Remember the persecuted church. You're going to see more and more of it. You know what the good news is about the persecuted church? If you read it in Acts and you see it all the way through, the church grows. The church grows. That don't sound right, does it? That's kind of confusing for most of it. But the church grows. Why? Because God's hands on it and he blesses it. He blesses it. People see other people being persecuted and they want to know, wow, what's the real thing in their life? Why are they standing up for that? And God starts changing people's lives because they see something different in us. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 14. I will share this with you before I read. This is actually a prayer that Paul had for the Ephesians. I've shared this prayer also with our worship team, and we're sharing it with the body today. And I hope it becomes your prayer for each and every one, people sitting around you and people that you know. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How wide, how deep, how long is our Father's love to us? We haven't even touched the surface of it yet. We haven't even began to know this love that God has for us. And this whole world, since the beginning of time, has sought for love. It has sought to be loved. Each and every one of you here, what do you want? If we're honest with ourselves, I want to be loved. I want to be loved. I don't want you not to love me. That's why peer pressure is such a powerful force against us, because we want to be accepted. We want to be loved. We want to be part of the group. God has shown it through this word from Genesis to Revelation, and he's speaking out one thing through the whole thing. I love you. I love you. Creation. You know who he created the earth for? Us. Why? Because he loves us. You start looking at story after story, word for word, page for page in that Bible, and it's the same thing. Everything that God does is motivated by love. His love for us. That's how much God loves us. And to find how deep that is, we will know it when we are with him in eternity. But until that time comes, Paul says in this prayer, I want you to seek it. I want you to keep looking for how deep his love is to us. And I want you to know. But this world has been looking for it for a long time. I had some songs go in my head this past few weeks. And in my lifetime, I am reminded of how this world is constantly seeking for love. There's always somebody demonstrating for love and peace. And I'm in the 60s era, so that was really big. You guys, some of you know what I'm talking about. And this has been an ongoing thing. And one of the songs that came to my mind was, because music's been a very powerful influence to me in this, it was in 1965. Hal David wrote the lyrics and Burt Bacharach composed the music. And I can't pronounce the lady's name that sang it very well, but it's Jackie DeShannon. Anybody know her? Sang a popular song of its time. Anybody know what it is? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. The interesting thing about that was not supposed to be for her to sing. It was set up for someone who sang it later, but she turned it down, Dionne Warwick. She said, I don't want to sing, that's too preachy. This was her quotes in an interview. It's too preachy. I don't want to sing that. And so they kept trying to get Burt Bacharach to play this for this Jackie, and she was getting put off. And so finally, he started playing it, and she started singing. He said, "We're going to New York to record this." She nailed it, and it was, you guys know the rest of the story. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. The verse was actually a prayer from Hall David to God. He said, "I'm talking to the Lord." He said, "Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. All we need is love, sweet love. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know." Well, Hal didn't realize that God's been trying to tell everybody all along. Even in his song, he's showing, "I love you. Sunbeams, fields, everything. I'm blessing you. I'm blessing you. I'm blessing you." Did you know God wants to bless you, not curse you? God never intended for curses to be on us. He wants to bless you. He wants to love you. I'm glad some of you knew that psalm. There's some other songs that came into my mind, and this one's a little different. It was in the 70s. It was a theme song for a TV variety show which lasted one season and gave this singer-songwriter a Grammy, his first, and was number one on the top of the charts at least on two Billboard charts. Anybody may know what that one is? The season only lasts 1 year, so I can understand why you didn't, may not know. It was a Ray Stevens show. And it was the theme song for this show. Anybody know what that is? I got you stumped? Everything is beautiful in its own way. That was the theme song. Now you know, right? It was very popular for him. The funny thing is the song is kind of, the wording's a little different. "Like a starry summer night or a snow-covered winter's day. And everybody's beautiful in their own way. Under God's heaven, the world's going to find the way. There is none so blind as he who would not see. We must not close up our minds. We must let our thoughts be free. For every hour that passes by, you know the world gets a little bit older. It's time to realize that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder." We shouldn't call about, I'm sorry, we shouldn't care about the length of his hair or the color of his skin. Don't worry about what shows from without, but the love that lives within. We're all going to get old again. Now everything is going to be work out fine. Just take a little time to look on the good side, my friend, and straighten it out in your mind. Everything is beautiful in its own way. Challenge I have with that song is it's not all biblical. And it caused some problems. He actually got this song from a Chinese proverb, is where that came from. And some of the songs you know that Ray Stevens has sung since then were more comical. This was his serious spiritual song that gained him a lot of fame. But it still says the same thing. We want love and peace in our world. God has been demonstrating that for years and years and years. He's demonstrating it today. When you look in the Bible and you see all the different Noah, Abraham, Samson, anywhere you look, you're going to see God's love demonstrated to us. But I think the greatest demonstration is what we also demonstrated this morning, and that was Jesus. God manifested in the flesh. Miracle after miracle as he walked on earth, God's love was being poured out. Jesus couldn't go nowhere without somebody coming around him because they knew he accepted them as they were. He came for the poor, the brokenhearted. In fact, he fulfilled Isaiah 61. It's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressors free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We have that in front of us every day. There are people in other countries, and I'm not saying as a guilt, but I'm saying as a reality. There are people in other countries that do not have Bibles that they can find this out. We are a blessed country. We are a blessed people. We have the Word of God not only in paper, but on cell phones and computers. And I mean, the technical part of this is just amazing because I can go on my wife's cell phone. I can't on mine. Mine's a flip phone. So I go on my wife's cell phone and it can bring up multiple versions of that scripture. Yet I'm concerned about us. I'm concerned about us. Just like Paul was about the Ephesians. If you'll turn to Revelations with me. I'm going to show you why Paul was concerned about that. Revelations chapter 2. We've read this many times. You've read it. To the angel of the Lord of Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Wow, that sounds like a pretty powerful, strong church, doesn't it? But then he says one more thing. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. We are a blessed nation. We have everything we need. You go on and read the other churches, they're rich, but yet they're poor. We are blessed. But what's missing? When I told you my little story earlier, I was so involved in church and doing things that my relationship with Jesus was no longer there. I remember when I first gave my heart to Jesus, I would mow the church yard, little Baptist church, and that's what I did. And they had a little riding mower, and I'd ride it. I didn't know it at the time, but I was singing to the top of my lungs. I thought the mower would drown most of it out, and I'm singing to the top of my lungs because Jesus saved me. He delivered me. He gave me life. He gave me hope. He changed my life. And that's the other issue. Jesus loves us so much. He doesn't just save us from our sins, but He changes us to become more like Him. And the Bible says we are to make disciples of one another. And my question comes to, was I changing? Yeah, I did. I changed the other way. That wasn't good. The devil robbed me of my joy. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Things started leaving my life that were not, that God had put in there. And my life started falling apart. Yet I was going to church and I was doing all the things I thought I was supposed to do. But I left my first love. I love my wife. I love my kids. And my relationship with my wife, if I left that first love for my wife that I had, it can never grow. And if I leave that, I will never know the depth of love that my wife has for me. I urge you to begin to fall in love with Jesus again, more than you ever have. Because the church in Ephesus in the book of Ephesians was a growing church, and they were doing great things, and it's proof in Revelation they were doing that. But they got away from the foundation. Ephesians said, there's a foundation there. Know how high, know how deep, know how wide is love. Do not stop falling out of the love of Jesus. Do not do that. Fall in love with Him each and every day. I'm going to finish with this. I got a couple more songs. Two of them is, in fact, these are the two most popular songs in Christianity. And one of them is the second most popular in America, and the other one is the most popular in the world. And they're very simple songs. In fact, on the song that Ray Stevens sung, the one of them that is the second most popular, he used that at the beginning. And he had kids singing it for him. Well, no wonder he won a Grammy, you know, because it was a song that touches the heart. And that song was written in 1860 by a lady named Anna Warner for a novel. And it was in her sister's novel. Her name was Susan. And in that book, it was a poem for a dying child. That was the number one song that was written. I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. The song in Ray Stevens was written by a pastor, William. Trying to think of his name. I got my notes, and I'm trying to stay away from that right now, okay? Can't remember. It's such a strange name. His name was Clarence Hubert Wolfson, okay? He received very little recognition of it, even though it's popular. Here's the psalm. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Do you guys know the verses to that? Do you? I didn't. So I had to go. That's all I knew, okay? Jesus died for all the children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Jesus rose for the children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus rose for all the children of the world. That's the number two most popular song. Number one in America. Number two in America. Do you know what the number one song is of him of all times? Yeah, you do. Every one of you know it. Pardon? Not Amazing Grace. That's a good guess. That's a good one. Jesus loves me. And look who said it. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. It's done in sign language. You can do that song in any style of music you want. Any style. If you want to do it country, you can do it country. You can do it pop. You can do whatever, however style of music you want to do. And the message is the same. It doesn't go away. Jesus loves me. Do you know the other verses to that song? Anybody? I didn't either. I was supposed to save it at the end, but I'm going to do it now. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will live henceforth for thee. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. In prayer, I tell him so. In closing, I want to remind you of a little story. Peter, who was known as Simon, heard about the Lord through his brother Andrew. And Peter was taken to Jesus, and Jesus right off the bat looks at him and says, you're Simon, son of John. No longer your name, Simon. It's Cephas, which means Peter, which in Arabic and Greek means rock. And later on, he tells Peter, he says, on my church, I will build this rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when martyrs are happening in our world today because they stand up for Jesus, the church grows because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Okay? But some things happened in Peter. He walked on the water and he saw all the miracles. And in fact, he even was part of some of the miracles. When you read in Acts and different ones, he done some great miracles. But there's one part of Peter in John 21 that I want to end with. And what I want you to see is there's no reasonable doubt that the world should know that Jesus loves them. You guys know that. I know that, and many in the world know that, and they're sharing that. But here's something that comes up. John 21, if you want to turn that with me, I'm going to start reading. Let me tell you a little story first. It's a miracle catch again. This is the second time. It's when Jesus first met him, and now Jesus has rose from the dead. he's visited the disciples three times, and then Peter all of a sudden says, I'm going fishing. So he goes fishing, and guess what? Same thing happened. He's out there fishing, no fish. He's fished all night, nothing. Someone spots somebody up on the shore. Guess who it is? It's Jesus. But they don't know it at first. And one of them calls out, John, and he says, hey, that's Jesus up there. And that Jesus says, hey, throw your nets on the other side. They throw their nets on the other side. It was such the biggest catch of fish that Peter doesn't even wait. He jumps out of the boat, had to get some clothes on first, it says, jumps out of the boat and gets up to Jesus as fast as he can. Didn't even help the guys come in. They get up there. They have breakfast and stuff because Jesus already got stuff going. And then he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, and I'm going to start in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep, my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. I'm going to stop there. Remember, Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three times. Jesus without giving him an opportunity to restate himself. Isn't that the love of God to us? Second chance God, third chance God, however you want to look at it. I don't know how many chances. I've had more than three chances, okay? God's grace is sufficient, is it not? He loves us so much. But he gives him an opportunity. Now, that scripture I gave you is a sermon on its own. I mean, you can go as deep and wide as you want to go with that. But there was one thing that stuck out to me in that scripture more than anything. It was the first question. He said, do you love me more than these? What was the these? My question was, what was the these? Oh, you look in commentaries, they'll give you all kinds of answers. There's all of them, the fish, the people, this or that. It really doesn't matter. What matters is what's the these in my life? What's the these in your life that's keeping you from loving Jesus deeper and deeper? That's what matters. And I'm going to ask you to look at the these in your life this week, even to right now. If you know what that is right now, I pray you confess it to God and let him know how much you love him. Let him know how much you love him. Because I'm going to tell you, when it gets down to the end, there's also a scripture in the Word that says this. Many will come in his name and all this will happen. And they said, Lord, didn't we do these mighty works in your name? Didn't we do these things and build these things in your name? Didn't we do all this great stuff in your name? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And I don't know if this is the true interpretation of this, but what I felt that said was, you never loved me. You never really loved me. You worked all this for your own stuff. You never loved me. Because when you look in 2 Corinthians 13, it gives you the definition of love. And I urge you to look at that today. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. Because God says, I'm going to give you a better way. Paul says, through Paul, and it's love. You know what the world needs today? Love. But it ain't the way they want it. It's through God, and it's unconditional, that I can love you who you are. I do not judge. I love you who you are. But I'm praying for you become who God wants you to be. I want you to bow your heads with me right now. I want to pray with you. Father, you said you were anointed to come to set the captive free. Lord, that you were going to tear down any walls in our lives and clean out any rooms in our heart. And your word tells us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, our mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we say, God, that's so hard. I can't do that. Well, Lord, it's only hard because I'm loving something else. When you showed me how to love my wife with all my heart, mind, and soul, as unto you, you got me out of the way. And I pray for each and every one here, Father, whatever the these that's in their lives that's keeping us from loving you and loving one another, Lord, may they confess it to you. May they be obedient to your word and do whatever they need to do. Go forgive somebody. Go ask somebody to forgive them. Whatever it is, God, that relationship can come back together. Because you have filled this world with your love. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, you want to use us to be that love channel to the world. That we can love the people and hate the sin. Lord, look into our hearts. What's keeping us from loving you more? Did we lose our first love, Lord? You know where we're at. And you love us so much. You're not going to scold us. You're going to put your arms around us. You're telling us to come to your lap and sit on your lap and talk to us. Father, I'm sorry. I want to love you. Show me how. Show me the way, Lord. How deep is your love? Father, bless each and every one here. May this day and this week and the rest of their lives, when they go outside and they see your creation, when they hear certain songs on the radio, when they, everything they see, Lord, may they see your love. When they open your word, your love just pours out to them. You've changed so many lives. You've taken the brokenhearted and mended it back together again. You are a miracle working God, and you're still a miracle working God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, I want to thank you for your presence here. For those that will receive your love today, fill them up, God. Fill them up to overflowing with it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.